Dear brothers and sisters, the journey of the Israelites who came out of Egypt toward the blessed land of Canaan represents the trial we undergo on this earth to the day we enter the kingdom of heaven. Through these trials, we come to resemble the heart of Christ and become sanctified children. But if we fail to pass through these trials, we risk being forsaken. Of course, this doesn't mean that God abandons us simply because we fail once or twice. When we have examples in the Bible like Pharaoh and the land of Egypt, God doesn't just destroy all the people and Pharaoh at once. God gives many chances. The Israelites safely came out of Egypt by the power of God and witnessed countless astonishing signs and wonders like the parting of the Red Sea. It's important to keep these words in mind and use it as a lesson for our own daily lives. Yet the people continue to grumble and complain, failing to have spiritual faith. Because of the people's unbelief and disobedience to God, they perished in the wilderness. And God didn't just see their unbelief and disobedience to God once or twice and completely destroy them. God gave the Israelites so many chances, so many lessons, so many teachings, but these people, they didn't take the hand that God had let out and continued to sin over and over again, which is why there was no other way but for God to abandon them. It's also the same for us as well. Despite being saved by the precious blood of the Lord, we must understand that if we willfully remain in sin and do not obey God's will, our names can be blotted out from the book of life. But may you not be anxious over whether you will be saved. Rather, gain wisdom and understanding through the plagues of Egypt and the trials of the Israelites on how to avoid calamity and how to overcome trials. Last week, we looked at the plague of flies. Today, we'll focus on the plague of pestilence, the plague of boils, and the plague of hail. The fifth plague was the plague of pestilence. Because Pharaoh remained hardened and continued to disobey God, an even more severe plague came upon Egypt. Pestilence refers to a serious and difficult to cure contagious disease. It spreads invisibly within the body and is commonly known to infect livestock. In Egypt, all the livestock in the fields died as a result. Just imagine the serious damage. So how can we apply this word to our own lives? What does it mean for us today? The plague or pestilence refers to a disease that spreads within the body. And since the pestilence came upon the livestock as well, it signifies that a severe illness may come upon family members who live together. When evil is met with more evil and you continue in disobedience, God turns his face away. Under Satan's workings, pestilence can strike your household. Many of you may have experienced this firsthand. Before you received the Lord and were transformed, problems may have occurred in your families because of you, but unaware of the real reason. When you were outside the threshold of truth, you may not have known when, you know, family members ended up getting sick or being diagnosed with diseases. But once you're in the threshold of truth, you can discern between what's right and what's wrong, and you can discern if there are reasons for problems that are occurring in your families. And let's say, for example, a pastor comes and visits you at home. And back in the day, there are many people that received rebuke and information and teachings that some of these familial problems occurred because you were not living in the truth. And some people, they didn't like hearing these words. They didn't like admitting that family illnesses and diseases happened because of them. Because of your own evil, lingering illnesses can come upon a husband or wife, children, or even on your own selves. In the 10 plagues, we may not be able to give examples of every single illness, disease, and problem that happens to everyone in life. There are so many accidents and diseases and problems and trials and tribulations that everyone can experience, but through the 10 plagues, they're almost like a common or an overarching problem or a disease or an illness. And the lingering illness doesn't refer to minor sicknesses, but serious and deep-rooted diseases. And in today's words, you may hear a lot of problems may occur in the families because of you, but it doesn't just apply to large or serious lingering illnesses in the family. Don't just separate the categories to just what you hear in the sermon, but apply it to other areas. It's a flexible idea. Sometimes the plagues can get more serious and turn into a larger illness or serious problem. But it's important to understand that God is continuing to remind you and teach you and try and make you realize your problems through steps from minor to more serious. And that way you can understand that little problems and little illnesses or little trials that had happened in the past in your life, they're all examples of God's love. They're chances that God has given you. The lingering illness is referring to more serious diseases. Exodus 20, verse 4 and the following verses, it's written that the consequences of the parents' sin of idol worship may reach even to third and fourth generations. Our God is a God of love and doesn't repay unconditionally. If the descendants are good, receive God, and live in faith, the calamities resulting from the sins of their parents or ancestors will not arise. But if you continue to pile up evil upon the inherited evil from your parents, the consequences of sin is a surety. Often children born into families heavily involved in idol worship, something God detests, are born with congenital or psychological disabilities. Even if calamity doesn't come upon you directly, problems can arise in your children. It's important to always remain in the truth so that the sins of the parents are not passed down to the children. If there's a serious illness in the family, you must check whether it's the result of your own sin. In the past, there was a little bit more goodness, even with worldly people, more people with a better conscience. And even if people were to receive trials or mean words or attacks from others, they didn't return the same actions to others. They didn't repay evil with evil. Back in the day, there were more people with better consciences who would think of the future, that if they were to repay evil with evil and take vengeance, then it may be harmful to their future generations. But nowadays, the generation has turned to a point where it's so easy to take vengeance and so easy to just repay evil with evil. But it's important to choose truth and goodness so that you can think of what comes in the future, so that you can think of the heavenly kingdom that is to come. Pharaoh, seeing the livestock of Egypt dying, sent men to investigate the situation in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived. Unlike Egypt, not a single animal had died in Goshen. Though Goshen was still a part of Egypt, it was inhabited by the Israelites. While God brought plagues upon Egypt, He did not bring them upon the land of Goshen. Even though they were in the same land, part of the land inhabited by the Israelites were protected, and the other part were not. Let's say that you're in the Seoul metropolitan area, and one part, one suburb, or one area of Seoul is protected whilst the others aren't. But while God brought plagues upon Egypt, Goshen was protected, and this wasn't because the sons of Israel were particularly good or righteous. The reason why the Israelites were not considered particularly good or righteous is clearly seen through the Bible, especially through the 10 plagues. The Israelites were able to exodus from Egypt without great battles or fights. And how joyful is the occasion of being able to leave the land of Egypt without serious consequences? And shouldn't they completely give thanks to God for the fact that they were able to leave Egypt quite well? But as soon as the Israelites saw the Red Sea before them and they realized that the Egyptians were following them, the Israelites were not good with their actions. They didn't show faith in their actions when they were before the Red Sea and they had the Egyptian army following behind them. So did God protect the Israelites because He didn't know about Israel's true faith, level of faith or level of righteousness? It's because the Israelites were chosen as God's people. And the Israelites were in the process of growing their faith. God just saw the Israelites as young babies, as young children, about to grow their faith. But of course, God doesn't continuously give chances for all eternity. This applies to your Christian lives as well. If you have seen and experienced and heard of God's power and miraculous works for a certain amount of time, then you should be able to show your faith. You should be able to show your faith through actions. If complete new believers don't necessarily believe in God's works straight away, or perhaps say words of unbelief, it doesn't mean that God won't give them chances. God will continue to give chances. But if they continue to not say words of faith, they don't profess their faith, then it doesn't mean that these chances will continue all for eternity. Let's say you're a Christian who has been working in the church for a long time or have a high responsibility. If you act as if you are a new believer and don't say words of faith or show actions of faith, it doesn't mean that you're always going to get chances. But if you're a new believer doesn't show their faith properly, you can, you know, you can protect them, you can praise them, you can give them strength and try and raise them up. Because they're still young as a believer. They're only a baby. But if you are a church worker and you know faith, you have seen works of power happening, and you have faith and knowledge, but as soon as something bad happens, you complain or grumble or don't show faith, then you can't receive the same response from God as a new believer. But God still waited for the Israelites and gave them chances. They were protected on the basis that God had chosen them as His people. And even though the sons of Israel were as evil as Egyptians, God still protected them because they'd heard of the God of their forefathers and at least acknowledged and cried out to Him in prayer. When believers first receive the Lord, there still remains traces of evil, not much different from worldly people. But if you listen to the word and make efforts to obey, God protects you from great hardship. When the Israelites were being troubled by the Egyptians, and before Moses came to them to try and lead them out of the land of Egypt and to try and save them, the Israelites still cried out to God in prayer and acknowledged God. They asked God for help. And God saw that as a loving action. Of course, same with us. We normally try and find God or request God's help when something is wrong in our lives or when there are difficulties. We should always find and seek God, even when our lives are peaceful. But same with the Israelites. The Israelites still cried out to God because they were in difficulty with the Egyptians. So when believers first receive the Lord, they're not much different from worldly people. But at least if you try and listen to the word and make efforts to obey, God can protect you. Especially if you keep the Lord's day and offer tithes, obeying the most basic of God's commands, God can keep you from calamity. This was the case of the Israelites in the land of Goshen, but it's important not to stop. As you continue to listen to the word and cast off sin and dwell in the truth, faith grows. And when you can truly confess to believing in God, that God is your Father, then God can protect you even more. It's not just the say, it's not only the protections you recorded in the 10 plagues. The 10 plagues, the protection from the 10 plagues can also apply to new believers. But of course, if you are a new believer, you can receive protection at a certain amount. But if you continue your faith and 2 years, 5 years pass and you still act like a new believer and still ask for the same protection as a new believer, then that wouldn't be right with justice. God wants to give you more blessings, greater blessings. And even if there are trials and tribulations, big and small, whether there are accidents, God not only shields you from great disasters, but all small and big accidents. It's God's wish. Even when plagues spread and illnesses and troubles arise, those loved by God are safely protected. I hope that all your Christian lives are the same. After confirming that the land of Goshen was protected during the plagues in Egypt, what should Pharaoh have done? He should have acknowledged the living God and repented. Instead, Pharaoh's heart remained hardened and he ignored the word of God. So the plagues continued. The sixth plague that followed was the plague of boils. God instructed Moses to take two handfuls of soot from a kiln and throw it toward the sky in Pharaoh's sight. And God commanded Moses to throw the soot in front of Pharaoh. When Moses obeyed God's command, the soot became fine dust over all the land of Egypt and settled on both people and animals, breaking out in boils. In this day and age, sometimes you'll see weather changes, lots of weather changes from extreme heat to extreme cold. There are times where you've got yellow dust in the air. And when you go outside during the yellow dust season, and then you go back home, you'll find that you can shake off all the dust on your clothes at home, or when you take off your jacket, but you don't actually see a lot of the yellow dust on your clothes, but when you shake it, you can see them. If you apply this to Moses' actions, these handfuls of soot that he threw into the sky ended up becoming fine dust over all the land of Egypt. And when it settled on people and animals, it broke out into boils. Boils refer to malignant sores or ulcers that often begin as small inflammations, gradually hardening and swelling, sometimes becoming filled with pus and oozing. Severe cases may require surgery, with some growing larger than 10 centimeters. It can become swollen with pus, lead to high fever and body aches, and in some cases cause difficulty walking. Boils can be applied to our own lives. We've got yellow dust, we've got greenhouse gases in the air that are contributing to bad air quality. And through these dusts and unhygienic air quality, there are times when people get sick. They cough, they get allergies. Sometimes people with sensitive skin, their skin can break out. They can get rashes or acne. They can become as large as 10 centimeters with pus and ooze. And it's not just filled with pus and ooze, but it's inflamed, it's painful, it can be very itchy as well. Even when I was young myself, the air quality wasn't that bad. And this was about 40 years ago. And we can see in the history of our world that there are times when plagues happen, like, or there are certain diseases that spread across livestock. And that's when certain items raise in price, or certain items are hard to find. And through these incidences, we can see that certain diseases and plagues can be very detrimental to our own lives. It's not just the problem of the items being unable to be found, but it also impacts human lives too. And these boils are the same. It didn't just break out on people, but on the animals as well. And these animals also impact on humans. These boils are malignant sores or ulcers, usually starting from the inside of your body, and then it gradually hardens and swells, and you can be seen on the exterior of your body. While the plague of pestilence affected only the livestock, the plague of boils brought harm to animals and people. And if you look at the boils, it's a condition where the internal illness deepens and eventually manifests externally. So just as diseases are classified as stages 1, 2, or 3, or so forth, depending on the severity, the progression from pestilence to boils indicates that the illness and underlying problem have grown more serious and intensified. So when a sickness first arises, you may feel discomfort or pain and experience disruptions in daily life. As it worsens, it eventually surfaces and brings great suffering. So this is what it's meant by the plague of boils when it becomes more serious. So those who suffer such plagues often display the same hardness as Pharaoh. So the boils that are showing on the exterior part of your body, you've got discomfort, you've got pain. You have disruptions in your daily life, but not only that, but the inside, the internal illness has obviously grown more severe to the point where it's grown externally. So that illness internally is also grown. So through these 10 plagues, through the plague of boils, God is teaching us, God is telling us that if you do not repent by this point, then your heart is also as hardened as Pharaoh. So quick temper, anger in the slightest discomfort or disadvantage, pride, unwillingness to forgive others' faults, belief in being the best, insistence only on personal opinions, disregard of others, mostly due to a lack of love. If you have these personalities, if you have these areas, then you have the same hardness as the Pharaoh. Sometimes you may not be hard-hardened, or you may not realize that you have these qualities. You may make excuses and say, I'm not usually like this. I'm only angry because the situation makes me angry. So don't make excuses. You need to realize that these may be qualities that are residing within you. Let's say a person around you suddenly comes to you and says, you must be really, you know, prideful. You must really love yourself. You seem very firm and proud of your own life. Don't take these words as nothing. Don't ignore these words. Consider that that might be right, that you may have a lot of pride in yourself. All of these qualities are hardness of heart. It doesn't just apply to worldly people. Don't think that because you're a Christian that you don't have quick temper, anger, or pride, or unwillingness to forgive others, or patience. You need to realize that these may be your own qualities. There are people in the world that just forgive. There are people that just, you know, they give up and say, look, I'll take the higher road. I'll forgive. I'll just do it instead. So you need to also look back on yourself, even though you're a Christian, and check whether you have these qualities of being hard-hearted. And sometimes you may not be hard-hearted, but your parents or ancestors have committed great sins before God. So when the cause of calamity lies within the family, then the entire family must repent and turn back to God. If the home is transformed into harmony and beauty through this process, it becomes a blessing in disguise. God is love. He doesn't permit disease to lead people to destruction. But beginning with the plague of flies, the plagues become more severe and manifest as physical afflictions. In these cases, true resolution only comes when you tear your heart and repent thoroughly with deep contrition. Even when a great illness like the plague or boil arises, God still waits for repentance and gives opportunities. Exodus 9 verses 15 to 16, "For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason, I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth." God could have immediately sent a devastating plague and forced Pharaoh to submit, but in God's patient love, he continued to give Pharaoh a chance. God reveals astounding power far beyond human ability because he desires people to turn back to him. But Pharaoh continued to harden his heart and refused to obey God's command. As a result, the suffering and damage escalated from lesser to greater plagues. Remember, you must not say that God gave the plagues. The earth was already cursed from the beginning. And with all the time spent on earth, many generations over time have damaged the earth. All of this has piled up one after the other. People, generation after generation, have become more evil. They have damaged the world, the earth, the land. For each generation, and when evil piles up, when curses pile up, when damages pile up, they become greater. It escalates from lesser to greater problems. God did not give plagues. God did not make things like the yellow dust. God didn't make the air quality to be this detrimental. It's all due to humans. People kept building and destroying the land to the point where these greenhouse gases destroyed the environment and the air quality. When you live in the truth, when you live with goodness, when you live under God's umbrella, then God can protect you. God works according to justice. And you must also live according to God's justice. You cannot just say that, you cannot just live however it is you want to live. You cannot just live freely and ask God for protection. God is the God of love who gives blessings and answers. And God doesn't give people trials and tribulations just because. So it's important to not misunderstand God. The seventh plague is the plague of hail. Through Moses, God announced that he would send hail like never been seen since the foundation of the nation, and gave an opportunity for the people to bring their livestock and servants from the fields into their homes. Hail consists of frozen water droplets that fall to the ground as chunks of ice, typically larger than 5 millimeters. It can happen when it's not winter, with hailstones possibly forming as large as golf or tennis balls. When this kind of hail falls, it can destroy crops and injure people. I'm sure a lot of our mature age church members would have experienced being hit by hails, and even myself, when I was hit by hail, it did cause a little bit of pain. So when hail falls in early summer, it causes severe damage to farms as it strikes when crops are maturing. The physical impact of the hail damages the produce. Even light hail can reduce the market value of fruit when it strikes fruit trees, making the harvest not worth the labor cost and leading some to abandon the harvest altogether. This results in financial loss, the fruit must be beautiful and in good color and in good condition for it to take a larger cost, for it to produce a larger cost. After a severe hailstorm passes, grass and trees can be completely destroyed, making it one of the worst natural disasters. The plague of hail that fell upon Egypt was far more terrifying as it came mixed with fire. The day after God gave his warning through Moses, Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and thunder, hail, and fire came down from heaven. It struck the people and animals in the fields, the plants, and even broke the trees, a great and destructive calamity. When I was preparing for this sermon, I saw videos of hailstorms in this day and age, and I saw the hailstorm destroying cars and windows. But when you think about the plague of hail that fell upon Egypt, it came with thunder and fire as well. So you can imagine how great and destructive it was. Exodus 9 verses 31 to 32. Now the flax and the barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they ripened late. The damage was at least partial, but what about the land of Goshen, where the Israelites dwelled? Like before, the land of Goshen was under God's protection and no hail fell. And this is a prelude to the next plague. And when we look at how certain parts of the area was ruined and other parts weren't, we can think and ask ourselves what the spiritual meaning of the plague of hail is. This was when a different kind of disaster, unlike disease, appeared. The hail mixed with fire destroyed the crops of the field, leaving nothing to eat. Spiritually, this signifies suffering great financial loss due to unexpected accidents or events. It can represent incidents such as a fire at a place of business or workplace, sudden accidents or illnesses in the family that require large, unplanned expenses. For example, a person who once fervently believed in the Lord may begin to focus on making money, gradually skipping Sunday services, and eventually ceasing to keep the Lord's Day altogether. As a result, this person falls outside of God's protection and unexpected problems arise at work or the business. Unforeseen accidents like traffic collisions or sudden illnesses may also occur, leading to great financial loss. This corresponds to the plague of hail. What do you value as dearly as your own life? Money? Wealth and positions? 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Greed for wealth leads to many crimes such as murder, robbery, abduction, violence, and fraud, and even causes division among siblings. What began as a minor financial loss can escalate into major conflict. There are many Christians who fail to resist the temptation of wealth and neglect faith, such as not keeping the Lord's Day or giving tithes, ultimately drifting away from salvation. Money is valued so highly that it can impact salvation. Just as hail sweeps away nearly all vegetation, the plague of hail represents great loss in the material possessions you treasure so dearly. Hail typically falls without warning and doesn't happen across an entire country at once, but in certain regions. The plague of hail doesn't usually cause you to lose all your possessions at once. Even this is the love of God. If you were to lose your entire fortune instantly, you might fall into despair and even take your own life. It's why God allows it to strike in part. If you thoroughly repent and turn back at this stage, it's not too late. But if you don't repent and continue down the wrong path, you'll face more terrifying plagues. Next week, we'll look at the disaster where the remaining crops not damaged by the hail, representing the last of your possessions, are completely destroyed. We looked at the plague of pestilence and the plague of boils that referred to family or personal illnesses, a continuation from the plague of flies. In these great illnesses that happen in the plague of pestilence and boils, if you don't repent, even at this stage, then a more severe plague can happen. And this can end up being the plague of hail, which is where money, your possessions, your wealth are impacted negatively. And when all the wealth and possessions are impacted to the point where there's nothing remains, then you have nothing left in the world. If you still don't repent and look back on yourself, and if you still continue to have greed for money and don't offer tithes to God, something that you must do, or if you don't realize your wrongdoings, then these plagues can become more severe to a point where you lose your own life and end up going to hell. It's important for you to look back on yourself and think that these monetary problems are not just problems. There are times when wealth and possessions are linked with blessings. It's technically always linked with blessings. The fact that you are not going to the hospital, the fact that you are protected, you don't need medicine, you don't get sick, is earning money. It's not just once a year that you need to go to the hospital, but let's say people in the world, they pay to get medicine, to get subscriptions. They pay for insurance, medical insurance, and even if you pay for medical insurance, there are still extra payments. When you are treated at a hospital, there are hospital payments. There are other areas where worldly people still need to pay when they get sick or when there are problems, when they go for CT scans or x-rays. Not all are covered by insurance. The fact that you don't need to have these checkups and medical and medicines are also part of receiving monetary blessings. And I hope that when you look back on yourself and you consider all of these good points, that you give thanks to Father God. We who believe in the Lord don't need to live a life of faith with hardship or burden. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It becomes difficult because you try to carry the burdens yourself, even though the Lord says He will carry them for you. So entrust everything to the Lord. To entrust all to Him means to obey His word and His will. When you follow the Lord with a sincere heart, you can cast off sin. As you remove all evil ways that are contrary to the truth, you come to realize that what you once pursued in the world and the sins you once committed are worth less than trash. There is no longer any greed for the things of the world. Only the truth is precious, and you simply love God. Then would God do nothing? Just watch and do nothing? Absolutely not. God pours out His overflowing love. God grants strength both spiritually and physically, meets your needs as requested, and answers your heart's desires. Your heart becomes filled with the hope of heaven, and joy and thanksgiving never cease. But when you try to live according to your own will and desire, many things begin to go wrong or become blocked. When you live freely, when you live to your desire, that's living in sin. When you entrust all to God, when you entrust all to the Lord, this means that you live according to the Bible, according to the 66 books of the Bible. If you try to live according to your own will and desire, this means that you will get angry whenever you want to get angry. You will pray only when you want to pray and not pray when you don't want to pray. All of these actions are not living or entrusting your life to the Lord, so God cannot protect you. So many things begin to go wrong or become blocked. When sin fills your heart and trials, afflictions, and problems arise, these are plagues that come from being hardened and unyielding like Pharaoh, refusing to obey. The more evil you get, the more severe the calamities. If you're experiencing these plagues in your home, workplace, or business, I urge you to turn back. You must cast off all disobedience and evil before God. Replace it with goodness, gentleness, truth, and love. May you find true rest in the arms of the Lord.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.